This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:46 a.m. on Tuesday, the 24th of November. You're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Audrey Raj. Taking a look at local news and the headlines this morning, the Health Ministry yesterday reported 1,884 new COVID-19 infections, a new record high in daily cases. The previous record was, I think, early November with 1,755 new cases or so. And this spike was largely contributed by the Teratai cluster, which involves the workers from Top Gloves factories in Klang.
Yeah, unfortunately, this persistent spike in daily COVID-19 cases in the last 2 months has prompted many to question if the renewal of the CMCO has been effective in reining in the pandemic. Now, despite the consensus that, of course, physical distancing and movement restrictions are important to control the outbreak, many have also asked whether the current CMCO, citing inconsistent SOPs, inadequate testing, and the lack of data transparency, are working.
Right. And for more on this, we have Tan Sri Dr. Jamila Mahmood, Special Advisor on Public Health to the Prime Minister. Minister on the line. Good morning, Tan Sri. What is the situation with our testing capacity? You know, are we doing enough testing, and what does this mean for the effectiveness of the current CMCO?
Sure. Thanks for that question. Let me start with the testing. Now, when you are actually going to put out a testing regime, there are some international benchmarks that we use. For the Ministry of Health, we use WHO benchmarks. Now, the guidelines from WHO are very straightforward. Their initial guidelines says you test those who are symptomatic, but if you're going to do a broader testing plan, then for every one case that is positive, you need to have at least 10 tests done minimally that are negative, which means that the range of testing that you do. So generally, as a rule of thumb, for every one case that is positive, you do between 10 minimally to 30 additional tests. So how are we doing? So if you look at test numbers, this we can look at it per 1,000 population. And then we also look at something else called the positivity rate. The lower the positivity rate means that you are testing enough. Malaysia is doing about 74 per 1,000 population tests with a positivity rate of about 1.9%, which is good. So in short, we are doing more than is enough for WHO standards. On a rolling average, we're doing, say, about 20 per single test that's positive. So simply put, if you take the numbers, 1,000 cases, we should do minimally 10,000 tests, but we did about 35,000. So it is incorrect to say that Malaysia is not testing enough. How is that in relation to the CMCO? So I think one of the things we have to realize is that in managing this pandemic, there are a lot of uncertainties. Now, at that point of decision-making, I think the Ministry of Health had the data to show that there was a lot of population movement. And you can actually look at this from MySejahtera and others to see that people were actually generally mobile. So the decision then from the Ministry of Health is to avoid an exponential surge. If you want to avoid an exponential surge, then you need to take some pretty stern action to just minimize the movement of people. So that was the decision made then. And as you have seen, after 2 weeks, they have loosened up in some areas, and there'll be more, you know, more targeting as we go forward.
Meanwhile, there was an Imperial College study that said that Malaysia's COVID-19 cases are expected to rise steadily over the next 4 weeks unless stronger interventions are introduced to curtail its spread. Now, is there a disconnect between the Imperial College study and MOH projections?
I would say there isn't really a disconnect. Let me go back to the study itself. The study is, you know, as all studies are, they are based on modelling. Similarly, KKM has its modelling using SIR and other indicators, right? So the modelling for Imperial College, if you look at the data they produce, say, for example, on 10th November, they said that Malaysia will have about 4,400 cases, whereas we had 860 cases that day. So it's a big discrepancy. And as you go on with time, they're saying that they will have a fourfold increase by December and so forth. We are not seeing that exponential rise. The Ministry of Health will take the stand that because there was some drastic measure in the sense of a CMCO taken, that exponential rise was avoided. Now, if we had not done that, and say the exponential rise did occur, we'll be having very different conversations today. People will then ask, how come you didn't take some more drastic action then? And why did you allow the numbers to increase to 4,000 a day on 10th November? So it's really about finding the right instrument at that point in time and continually refining that instrument.
Right. But what about asymptomatic cases, Tan Sri? Are they included in these projections?
WHO recommended that you do symptomatic testing. But Malaysia's approach is that you go in and you test an area and you do about 5 to 10% of the testing. If you see a large number of positive cases, what we do is the temporary, the emergency MCO, the TEMCO, where you actually, put up the barbed wires, you close off the area. And when that happens, you test every single person within that confined area. This is what the KKM has been doing. So it's not just testing those who are symptomatic. When you TEMCO an area, you test everyone, irrespective of whether they are symptomatic or not. So you will capture asymptomatics and also symptomatic.
Okay, but the Deputy Health Minister, Dr. Noor Azmi Ghazali, recently said in an interview that the government is only testing 10% of the population in TEMCO areas. So why is that the case?
So I had not read that article, but I did just have a conversation with the Ministry of Health to verify this. I think probably there's some misunderstanding there or miscommunication. From what I have been informed by KKM, he's quite correct that between 5 to 10% of the areas are tested, not TEMCO. When a TEMCO is announced, this is when they will have barbed wire around the area, fencing and so forth. Every single person in the vicinity of the TEMCO is tested. So as a general rule, they will test 5 to 10% on any area, say a daerah or Mukim. And then if there's 5 to 10% of those testing, they find a lot of positive, then they will start identifying where those positive cases are. And then they create a TEMCO within that Mukim or daerah. And then everyone in the TEMCO is tested.
And Tan Sri, but the current implementation of this CMCO has met with criticism over inconsistent SOPs and leeways given to certain individuals in complying with them. What would you say about that, though?
My own view is that enforcement must be uniform across the board, irrespective. If I break the rules, I would like someone to hold me accountable as well. That's what I can say at a personal level. I think that, this, as I mentioned earlier, we are all learning on this journey. The standard operating procedures are not cast in stone. As we speak today, I'm also working together with the economic ministries and others to make sure that the health and the economic sector actually comes together to look at refining these SOPs, also creating some clear triggers on how decision making and how economic activity can go on, because business continuity is very, very key. So I expect that we will continually improve the standard operating procedures. The management of COVID-19 pandemic requires us to have a lot of humility and a lot of learning and adaptation. I think that the adapting process has got to be a continual one. But I think what's more important, speaking as a person who is a scientific background, I would love to see much more clear, algorithms on how the decision-making is made and also what people can expect if the numbers increase in a certain area or if, the severity of COVID-19 pandemic or the dispersion of cases and so forth, what to expect next rather than trying to guess what's the new SOP.
Right. Tan Sri, some of the criticism that has been leveled towards the Health Ministry is also the lack of transparency in terms of sharing its data. What are your thoughts on this?
I get very frustrated and disappointed with, people who just, using words like, lack of transparency and so forth, because I feel that the DG comes out every day almost, giving data that is, for public consumption. But I think that, there is also some areas where data is protected. For example, specific details of individuals who are affected and so on and so forth. Those are protected. We have data privacy laws. But generally, most other data is open. Now, I was at the parliament and I heard this accusation also. And what we have done now, and I'm moving towards, is organizing, what we call a learning symposium, bringing in some of our colleagues from the medical fraternity and others to really examine the different different facets of public health as well as the COVID management and bringing them in. I think that if we talk about whole of society response, we have to also bring in, you know, the state Selangor Task Force, for example. We have to bring in, you know, some of the academics who may have something to contribute. But I think a lot of the accusations, I'm sorry to say, are not only, I think it's just a lot of sweeping statements being made and a little bit unfair to the Ministry of Health. So I'm a neutral party. I don't work with the Ministry of Health, but I want to work together with everyone who can, you know, possibly contribute towards us finding, you know, better solutions for Malaysia.
Meanwhile, I think a lot of us would like to know, are our public healthcare facilities at the moment, do we have enough capacity for an increase in cases? Does it strain our resources?
At the moment, we are coping very well. Ministry of Health, actually, you'd be surprised to know that even, you know, we have dialogues with Singapore, and Singapore is taking some of the lessons from us as well in terms of setting up what we call the low-risk centres for quarantine. Now, at the moment, we have, you know, about 17,000 plus beds available in Malaysia, and there's enough beds for everyone. But what is going to happen is more and more of these low-risk centres will be set up so that those who are asymptomatic or have stage 1 to stage 2 disease can actually be monitored there.
Right. Now, Tan Sri, there are people who have argued that we should have gone into a strict MCO-like restriction instead of the current CMCO at the onset of the third wave to curb the spread fast. What are your thoughts on this?
The cost of MCO is just too high. The full MCO in the first wave, you know, the Ministry of Finance and Bank Negara calculated that it costs about 2 billion plus per day, which is an extremely high cost in terms of economic loss. Whereas the CMCO is about, you know, one quarter of that. And in 2 weeks, it's unlikely that you bring the numbers completely down. And I think we've got to learn to live with non-zero. This is my big message, that we're never going to achieve zero cases. I think we have to learn to live with enough cases that will not strain our health services, that will allow us to carry on and resume our activities in the economic sector. And we need to be prepared to some changes and restrictions in the social sector, social activities, particularly those that are held in closed and confined spaces. The virus itself needs at least about 3 incubation cycles to eliminate a significant proportion of the viruses. You're talking about 6 weeks. I don't think we can afford a 6-week MCO. But the CMCO was really to limit the close interactions between people, particularly in close confined spaces, but also to avoid the exponential surge that would have got us into the numbers that Imperial College had predicted.
Right. Thank you for that, Tan Sri. That was Tan Sri, Dr. Jamila Mahmood, Special Advisor on Public Health to the Prime Minister. We've heard from Tan Sri, but we'd like to know what you think. We're running a poll on Twitter asking you, do you think the CMCO is effectively curbing the spread of COVID-19? Yes, no, yes, but it hurts the economy, or are you not sure? Get in touch with us on Twitter, at BFM Radio is our handle. Coming up after the 8 a.m. news bulletin is the breakfast grill, and Roshan Kanisan is going to speak to Lim Chin Hong, the managing director of Econ Frame Berhad Group. But up next, it's the Mercedes Rock Break with the Spencer Davis Group, and Keep On Running. This is The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.